Roppongi, Roppongi, Roppongi lights, Roppongi vice.
Hey everybody, it's Timothy Robert Buckner here, back for another episode of Old School versus New School. So I gave Chad this week Tyler Bateman versus Jeff Cobb from Premier Wrestling from up north here in California. I gave it to Chad to kind of show that, number one, the California scene is more than just PWG. And number two, that shoot style can still work in the modern day. This is essentially a shoot style promotion for the most part, what they do. They have a lot of great grapply guys. They've got Timothy Thatcher, really shines in Premier Wrestling. Joe Graves, J.R. Kratos, like Hossy shoot guys. They also do women's shoot stuff, stuff with Rays, stuff with Colleen, who I don't remember her full name, but she's actually a champion in MMA right now for Invicta. They've got Shayna Baszler as a star for them. So they use a lot of shoot guys, a lot of up north guys, guys who went and trained in battle arts, with Shuji Itakawa and Santino Marella, who's not necessarily thought of as a shoot guy, but he's got shoot background. And it's a lot of fun. Tyler Bateman brings an interesting style when it comes to striking and shooting. Obviously, Jeff Cobb, with his Olympic background, is amazing on the mat. So they really trade a very interesting kind of mixing of both worlds, especially with Tyler Bateman looking like the star. I mean, realistically, I don't know if most people would expect it. It's probably the second most recent premiere show, with their most recent showing, unfortunately, not. I don't think it's on their YouTube channel yet, and if it is, didn't have any matches that really stood out to me to give. So yeah, Premier Wrestling up north. Who knows if they're coming back? I lean towards believing that they won't be coming back, but a company that I'm definitely a big fan of. They ran about 6 or 7 shows. All of them were super great with a lot of great workers. So give that to Chad just so he could see something super recent, but kind of an older school style with a really basic grappling and shoot style wrestling. And so you can pick it apart. Maybe he has seen it, maybe he hasn't. The biggest, most important thing is it's got Tyler Bateman in it, who's probably one of my favorite wrestlers from out here in California. If you're not watching Tyler Bateman, if you're not up on this guy and just how good he is, then you're really missing out. So I would recommend everybody take a moment and get out there and go check out Tyler Bateman.
The match that was selected for me by Timothy is Jeff Cobb versus Tyler Bateman from Premier 12. Jeff Cobb, you know, a couple years ago, it was really trendy and hipsterish to be a fan of Jeff Cobb. That's obviously not exactly the case now, as he's become more mainstream, either through Lucha Underground or through him traveling to places like Rev Pro and appearing in PWG. I'm always kind of been, I guess, a little bit in the middle when it comes to Jeff Cobb. I haven't been as big a fan of him as his biggest defenders. Also, haven't been as big a critic of him. I do think it's tough to face off against Jeff Cobb simply because we all know his amateur background. So if you're in a match with Jeff Cobb and he's doing his amateur wrestling and you're kind of Joe Schmo, generic indie wrestler, you can really easily look exposed if you're not up to snuff on the mat. In contrast, Cobb's character in kind of Lucha Underground and in some of his indie matches also has a lot of kind of throws, power moves, stuff like that, where he uses his weight. And while I enjoy that to a degree, sometimes I feel like those matches are a little disjointed, and I actually almost wish he'd go to the mat more. because it seems like from a kayfabe sense, that would be where he'd want to utilize his best strategy. Premier as a promotion overall is pretty interesting just because it's based in California, has kind of an MMA feel. Everything feels very drab, you know, grayish tones and everything, real kind of bare bones approach to wrestling and the way it's presented. Tyler Bateman is someone that I'm not sure if I've seen him before. But if I had seen him before, he didn't leave a lasting impression. He has a butcher gimmick here. And while I thought that was a pretty cool gimmick based on his look, kind of a Simon Gotch type facial expressions and look overall, I did not like his tights. I thought he should kind of utilize more of early 20th century, late 19th century, even up to the Prohibition era, that type of tights for his design. So that's just something from a cosmetic standpoint. As far as the match overall, to me, it was a tale of two matches. The first part of the match I really enjoyed, where Cobb immediately is able to get an ankle pick and kind of assert his dominance on the ground. And then the first portion of the match, Cobb utilizes a lot of kind of body locks and body submissions where he's using his weight advantage greatly. And I thought from an MMA type promotion, this made a lot of sense because there's a moment about 4 minutes into the match where there's a rope break on a body lock, and the referee asks Bateman if he wants to quit, and he's kind of hunched over on the mat, and it actually feels like kind of a believable false finish that you could see Bateman, you know, just say, yeah, I have to quit here because he'd exhausted all the air in his body. So I really enjoyed that first portion of the match, and Bateman, for his part, he was able to do some pretty cool arm work on Cobb, where he was able to reverse some of these body lock submissions by grabbing an arm. He really wrenched it. Cobb was selling excellently on the arm work. A little bit of joint manipulation was thrown in well. So I was really digging that kind of contrast in strategy that happened in the first portion of this match. The second portion of the match kind of went off the rails a decent amount for me. Cobb starts throwing his big throws, misdirection, suplexes, and his signature kind of big suplexes and throws that he does in a lot of his matches. While those look visually impressive, and from his standpoint, I thought they did kind of keep up with his strategy of trying to exhaust all the air out of Bateman. Where the match kind of faltered for me is on Bateman's behalf, because he totally gives up the arm work. And the way they work the finish is they try to present it as this big kind of overcoming the odds type finish where Bateman kind of snaps, slaps himself in the face, which is a spot I'm always iffy on at best, and then gives Cobb a running forearm, is on the mount position, raining down blows on Cobb, and then ends the match with another running forearm. I just didn't think these strikes looked good enough for what they were trying to convey. I didn't think Cobb had took enough punishment, or the last running forearm didn't look vicious enough for it to be a knockout blow. The other caveat with this is, you know, with an MMA-type promotion, I have no problem with somebody with the stature of Cobb to have some losses, because that's just what happens in MMA. But he came into this match with a record when they did the entrances of 6-5-1. Now, after this loss, he's 6-6-1. So the way this match was presented in the end is kind of a big upset and overcome the odd story for Bateman didn't resonate in that regard, because, I mean, now Cobb has a 500 record. So he's made a lot of mistakes throughout his tenure in Premier. Overall, went about 3 stars on this one. A good bit of good in the early going, a decent bit of bad in the late, but it's worth checking out. I think it's a good resume builder for Cobb's 2016, and for me personally, it kind of was a reconfirmation of what his strengths and weaknesses are as an overall worker. The match I selected for Timothy is Jun Akiyama versus Vader from 1/23/2000. This was a match I watched probably over a decade ago as I was first going through all the big All Japan classics. It did resonate with me then, but going back through the 90s stuff in the last few years and now into the waning days of All Japan, it really struck a chord with me as I watched it a couple weeks ago. I think this is the perfect kickstart of Akiyama's Wrestler of the Decade candidacy for the 2000s. He is able to look like a distinctive underdog in this match, but also look like a badass. And that was really important to where he was positioned at in All Japan at the time, because he's clearly above Taue at this point in time. He's either above or at worst at the same level with somebody like Kawada even at this point in time. And he's able, you know, through a loss he's still able to look credible enough to go into the match with Misawa the next month and have a fighting chance, that's one of my favorite matches of the 2000s overall. So this match to me is like a spiritual successor also to Sting versus Vader matches. Vader, it looks like a badass. He's throwing Akiyama around. Akiyama takes some crazy bumps. Doesn't overstay its welcome, and I thought it was really excellent this time. I ended up giving it 4.5 stars.
All right, it's Tim back here. Timothy Robert Buckner from the Lucha Undead and This Week in Wrestling podcasts, respectively. Not respectively, I'm just on both podcasts. Anyways, here to talk about the match that Chad gave me. It was Big Van Vader versus Jun Akiyama from January 23rd, the year 2000. It's really good shit. I mean, fuck, these guys are just killing each other, essentially from the start. One of the biggest things that really stands out to me is Vader's ability to not only be a big man, but to also work super ruthless. The kind of stuff that Vader does really stands out, not just as a big man worker, but as a big man worker for sure. Stuff that stands out that not a lot of other big men were doing at this time or in general. I mean, Vader was known even throughout the 90s as a guy that would powerbomb dudes on the floor. I mean, that's not a common occurrence. Vader brings a style of wrestling that's super violent, super aggressive, and Jun Akiyama gets the most out of him. Not only selling for him, but also throwing him around. Really love the backdrop drivers, multiple backdrop drivers from Jun. And what I love even more is the big suplexes from Vader that seem to be more, just a lot easier to snap off. And when Jun is able to pick up the big man, he's able to barely even get him moving. Huge German suplexes, multiple Vader bomb attempts from, obviously, Vader. I mean, this is just one of those all-time, I think, really all-time legendary matches. The work that both guys bring here is not just snug, but again, just vicious, violent, visceral attacks on each other. Highly recommend this. I could probably give it 4.5 stars on the old Meltzer scale, which is still technically out of 5. I don't care what you people say, just because he gave one match 6 stars in the past 17 years or whatever it is. I mean, Vader looks so good here. He, just, again, vicious attacks. Jun looking for leg strikes, drop kicks, holds the dragon screw leg whip that just takes Vader off his feet. This is just probably wrestling at its finest. These are the kind of matches, again, where as you start to talk about Jun Akiyama in the 2000s, and if PWO 2K continues on here, is where Jun starts to make his name. Uncle Jun, in All Japan, even currently, is delivering fantastic performances. If you go through the early 2000s all the way through, the guy really brings it in spades, especially here, just looking completely game, getting just barely taken out by Vader. And again, it just comes down to Vader. Vader is a guy who not only has size, power, but he also has ruthless just disregard for the well-being of others. And that mix here with June being pretty much willing to do whatever it takes to take him out, and Vader being more than willing to oblige June when it comes to being just as reckless, is super impressive.